The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 19, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on May 15th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So once again, I'd especially like to welcome those of you who are here for the first time. You are our special honored guests. Tonight we have some wonderful information that we are going to study and discuss. This is from the ancient Vedic wisdom. It is called the Bhagavad Gita. And it's an amazing, amazing book. It is the most relevant knowledge. How to become completely happy and free of all anxiety. Tonight we will read from chapter number 6, text number 19.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Yata dipo nivatasto. Nengate sopamasmrita. Yogino yachachittasya. Yunjato yogamatmanaha.
Translation. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist, whose mind is controlled, remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self, purport. A truly Krishna-conscious person, always absorbed in transcendence, in constant undisturbed meditation on his worshipable Lord, is as steady as a lamp in a windless place.
Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sagana Raguna Tanvitam Dham Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, what is the meaning of this? How does it relate to us? What can we learn from these statements of Lord Krishna to make our life better? In other words, an intelligent person, he's always trying to improve his life. So now you have come tonight for the Hare Krishna temple. So we would like to make this evening worthwhile, that you've got some benefit by coming here. So we would like to explain to you how this knowledge being spoken by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, when understood and applied, will have a very wonderful positive effect on your life. Education is a very important part of human life. In the very beginning, the parents educate the child. Without education, a child will remain simply an animal. So the parents educate the child very nicely. And then he is further educated by his teachers in the school. So education is a very essential part of human life. In this Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that this wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita is the highest form of education. It is Raja Vidya. In Sanskrit language, Vidya means education. And Raja means the king or the topmost thing. So this knowledge is of all the education you can receive in this world. This is the highest form of education. So what does this education teach you to do? What understanding does it give you? It gives you an understanding of what is the actual nature and purpose of existence. This education is not being given anywhere else. To actually know why you exist. What is the purpose for your being here within the universe? And how you can perfectly realize that purpose. This is what is being instructed here in the Bhagavad Gita. So if one can understand this knowledge and put it into practice, you will have a life which is full of joy and happiness. You will become free from frustration. You will not be confused like the ordinary person is sometimes confused about things. You will understand why everything is happening around you the way it's happening. Both here in the community, in Kaunas community, as well as the whole world. Even the whole universe. You will understand why everything is happening the way it's happening. And you will understand what role you are meant to play. And you will understand exactly how to carry out your role properly. To do the best possible service to yourself, to all living beings, and to God. So there's no knowledge like this anywhere. This knowledge is worth thousands and thousands of euros, actually. But we are not charging any fee. Because our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who's seated here in his murti form, this is a statue of Srila Prabhupada. But it's not simply a statue. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he's the founder of our movement. He is actually spiritually present in that statue. So we very much feel His presence here with us today in this assembly. And we feel grateful that He has agreed to be here with us. Because He is blessing us with the understanding of what is the actual duty and role that we are meant to play within the universe. And He is giving us the practical means to actually do that successfully. And this verse is actually the key to understand all of this. Krishna is saying, as a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. So there's two kinds of lamps. There's a steady lamp, which is just, you know, just burning straight. The flame is just completely still. That is a flame which burns in an atmosphere where there's not even the slightest trace of wind. No motion of air at all, you see. Like in a closed room, for example. A small closed room. The other kind of lamp is a lamp that's influenced to the motion of air. He's being influenced by the motion of air. That candle flame, it will be dancing. Dancing candle flame. So just as there's two types of flames, there's a motionless flame and a dancing flame. There are also two types of mental states that you and I can have. We can have a steady mind, or we can have a dancing mind. We see sometimes dancing minds, especially in the neophytes. Their minds dance this way, that way. Their minds are not steady. So that is our position. And a neophyte devotee has an unsteady mind, and a non-devotee also has an unsteady mind. But one who actually becomes advanced in spiritual realization, their mind becomes very solid and very steady. It doesn't waver at all. And how does one achieve that fixity of mind? One does so by meditating on the Supreme Self. We are not self-manifested beings. That I exist because I chose to exist. Our existence depends upon another being who is manifesting us from himself. That being is God. Or as we say in the Sanskrit language, Krishna. The same concept, just a different language. So that Supreme Person, Krishna or God, He is manifesting all of us from Himself. And that's why we exist. Why is He manifesting us from Himself? Because He wants to enjoy loving relationships with us. That's why we exist. So, if we can actually agree to love that Supreme Person, then we become completely happy and satisfied naturally. Just like a fish, where does it belong?
Pavyzdžiui, kaip žuvis, kuriai priklauso būti?
Does the fish belong on the land?
Ar žuvį priklauso būti ant žemės?
Or does the fish belong in the water?
Ar geriau vandenį?
Is it happy if it's on the land?
Ar jinai bus ant žemės laiminga?
No, it's miserable.
Kentės.
It's flapping in agony and in fear for losing its life due to suffocation. But if you put that fish back in the water, then it becomes so happy swimming around this way, that way. So our natural habitat is to have a loving relationship with that Supreme Person. When we have that loving relationship with Him, then we become very satisfied naturally. And our mind becomes very, very solid and steady. Not a dancing mind. But if we don't have that loving relationship with that Supreme Person, if we are not selflessly giving ourselves to that Supreme Person, then instead of being selfless, we are selfish. Selfishness is a tendency to try to make yourself God, actually. In other words, if you're being selfish, that means you're trying to make yourself the center of the universe. Instead of accepting God as the center of the universe, you're trying to make yourself the center of the universe. In that artificial position, like a fish out of water, your mind will never be steady. Because instead of accepting the actual position which will give you happiness, which is subservience to the Supreme Being, you try so many ways to be the Supreme yourself and enjoy in that way. But none of them work because they're all artificial. Therefore, you go jumping from this thing to that thing, jumping, jumping, jumping like a monkey going from one branch to another. And that's called a dancing mind, you see. It cannot fix. So, how does one come to that state of consciousness? Where one's mind is indeed solidly fixed. That is the science that we are teaching you here at the Hare Krishna temple. That is the science that is being taught in these books we have available for you. So if you will study these books, if you will come to hear the classes given at this center, and if you will take instructions from the devotees on how to practice this science of Krishna consciousness, then your mind will become completely steady. Because you will learn the art of how to selflessly connect yourself with the Supreme Person in a pure loving relationship. And you will get so much pleasure from that loving service to the Supreme Person. That you will gradually lose interest in all varieties of selfish so-called pleasures.
Kad palaipsniui jūs visiškai prarasit bet kokį susidomėjimą taip vadinamais malonumais savanaudiškais.
They just won't appeal to you anymore.
Tiesiog jums visiškai daugiau neteiks jokio impulso.
Because you will realize that even though they appeared to be very pleasurable, they were nothing but sources of misery.
Nes jūs suvoksit, kad nors jie ir atrodo kažkokie džiaugsmų šaltiniai, jie paprasčiausiai yra kančių šaltiniai.
So therefore we encourage you to seriously pursue this pathway.
Ir mes jūs raginame rimtai imti šito kelio.
Study this philosophy very carefully. And if you do so, we are sure and certain that you will find it to be a very sublime philosophy. And if you would like to be a little more daring, then try following it also a little bit. And see what the result is. We can guarantee you, if you will try practicing Krishna consciousness, that you will be absolutely amazed at how happy and how full of love you will feel.
Mes garantuojam, kad jeigu praktikuosi šitą Krishna sąmonę, tai nustepsite, kiek džiaugsmingi, laimingi ir pilni laimės būsite.
So I thank you all very much for your kind attention.
Ir dėkoju jums labai už jūsų tokį nuostabių.
And now I can ask if there are any questions.
Dabar noriu paklausti, ar yra klausimų.
Yeah.
Sometimes we see the intellectual people in this material world who are not devotees, but they have such a kind of steady consciousness. What is the difference between Krishna consciousness steady?
You do not know what is steady.
Kartais matome, kad net yra tokių intelektualių žmonių pasaulio istorija, kurie iš tikrųjų atrodo pastovus savo sąmonėje, pastovus savo veikloje ir taip toliau. Ir kuo skiriasi jų pastovumas nuo žmogaus Krishna sąmonėje pastovumo?
There are three modes of material nature.
Yra trys materialios gamtos būnos.
Goodness, passion, ignorance.
Dorybė, aistra ir neišmanimas.
Those who are more sattvic, they are more steady than those who are rajasic or tamasic.
Tie, kurie šiek tiek daugiau darybės turi, jie labiau įsitvirtinę pastovus negu rajasic ir tamasic.
But they are still tinged by passion and ignorance.
Bet jie vis tiek šiek tiek yra, bent jau šiek tiek yra sutelkti.
For someone who is in the mode of passion, a sattvic person may appear to be very steady.
Tam, kuris yra aistros gūnoje, kažkas, kuris yra darybės gūnoje, gali pasirodyti labai pastovus.
For someone on the transcendental platform, he can see how unsteady they actually are.
Bet tam, kuris transcendentiniame lygyje, jisai mato, kaip iš tikrųjų jie dar nėra pastovus.
So the point is, they may appear to be steady, they are more steady than those who are rajasic and tamasic.
Ir taip, jie yra labiau pastovus negu tie, kurie aistros gūnoje išmanime.
But to a certain extent, they are still unsteady.
Iki tam tikro lygio jie vis dar nėra visiškai pastovus.
One cannot become actually fully steady until one becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness.
Žmogus negali tol pilnai tapti pastovus, kol jis neįsitvirtina Krishna sąmonėje.
That steadiness is described in the stages of bhakti.
Bhakti lygiuose tas pastovumas aprašytas.
First thing you do is you have faith in the process.
Pirmas dalykas, ką darom, tai turim
Shraddha.
Į procesą, tai
Shraddha. Then you associate with devotees, sadhu sangha.
Tada bendravimas atsidavusis.
In Bhajana Kriya, you become a disciple of a bona fide spiritual master. Then in Nartana Vritti, you get free of all the bad habits. And then the fifth item is you become steady. Nishta. Nishta steady. So it's actually to become really steady is an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. People may appear to be very steady. But it's a facade, it's not real. Questions more?
Is there any test that one can see whether he is acting for God or not for God?
Yes, that test is the spiritual master.
Taip, tas testas yra dvasinis mokytojas.
If your guru is pleased, then you're properly situated.
Jeigu jūsų guru patenkintas, tada jūs tinkamai.
And if he's displeased, then you're not properly situated.
Bet jeigu nepatenkintas, tai tada jau blogai kažkas.
He is God's representative.
Nes jis Dievo atstovas.
So his pleasure or displeasure is an indication of Krishna's pleasure or displeasure.
Jo malonumas ar nepasitenkinimas tai yra atstovauja Krishna's malonumas.
So when in doubt, you say, Guru Maharaj or Guru Devi, are you pleased with me or are you displeased with me?
Ir kai kažkom abejojat, galit klausti, o mokytojau, ar patenkintas jūs manim ar ne?
And then you know whether you're properly situated or not.
Ir tada žinosit, ar tinkamai ar neįsitvirtinat.
What in such a occasion, what then is a heart, sound of heart. How to say? Words of our heart.
Voice
of our heart.
Well, the heart, if a highly advanced devotee can listen to the voice of the heart. But the neophyte or the beginner, he may hear his mind and think that it's his heart.
Bet pradedantysis jis gali klausyti savo proto, bet galvoti, kad klauso širdies.
Can't always tell the difference. It's be the mind and the heart.
Nes sunku pasakyti skirtumą tarp proto ir širdies.
Therefore, guru is required.
Dėl to reikalingas guru.
Next question.
Kitas klausimas.
Sometimes we preach that there are so many problems in this material life and therefore one should practice Krishna consciousness. But what will happen if these problems will disappear? Will they be inspired to practice it?
These problems will not disappear unless they come to Krishna consciousness. The problems are birth, death, old age, and disease. There's no amount of scientific progress that will get rid of birth, death, old age, and disease. There's only one way to conquer, and that's to surrender to Krishna. Next question.
How can one lose that peace and steadiness?
How you can lose the steadiness? Well, actually, you've already lost it. Now it's a question of how to get it back. We lost it because we foolishly became envious of God. In the beginning, we were totally dedicated to God. But we thought, well, why should I worship him? Why not I be the one who gets worshipped? So we gave our position in the spiritual, our wonderful, steady, happy position in the spiritual world, we gave it up. We came to a world where we can think that I am God. And that's when our unsteady life began. So, the way to get, that's the thing, envy spoils the steadiness, you see. As soon as you become envious of God, you have an unsteady mind immediately. That's why we learn how to appreciate God. And not be envious of him. We bow down to him, we sing his name. We describe his glories. We study his teachings. We do everything we can to develop loving feelings for him and get rid of any kind of envy we may have to him for him. That's how we become steady. If you're in love with someone, isn't your mind steady? All you can do is think of them 24 hours a day. You're not thinking, well, should I go here, should I go there? No, you're just thinking, I want to be with my lover, that's
all.
Mind is very steady, totally fixed on the lover, you see. So when you become a lover of God, then your mind is totally fixed on God 24 hours a day. It is called perfect steadiness. Questions more? Yes.
Neramus protas, tai ką turiu omeny. Aš nežinau, kad paaiškinti neramus protas, būtent protas. Skiriasi emocijos nuo neramus protas.
Could you please explain what is exactly unsteady mind and is there any difference between emotions and the unsteady mind?
No, emotions, that is something different.
Ne, emocijos tai yra kai kas kitko.
Emotions are a natural thing.
Emocijos tai yra natūralus dalykas.
If your emotions are pure and they are selfless, then they are a symptom of a steady mind.
Jeigu jūsų emocijos nesavanaudiškos ir tyros, tai jos yra simptomas pastovaus proto.
Just like someone has loving feelings for God.
Kaip kad, pavyzdžiui, kas nors gali turėti meilės jausmus Dievui.
Their heart is full of emotion.
Jų širdis pilna tų jausmų emocijų.
And such a person sees all living beings also as part of God.
Ir jisai mato visas gyvos būtybės kaip Dievo dalelytės.
So they not only feel emotions for God himself,
ir ne tik Dievui jaučia tas emocijas,
they also feel emotions for everyone, you see.
Visas jas jaučia ir visiem kitiem.
If such a person is speaking to you, then he will feel emotions for you while he is speaking to you.
Ir jeigu tokia asmenybė kalba su jumis, jis jaus emocijas ir jum.
He feels emotion for everyone.
Ir kiekvienam jaus.
And therefore he is completely steady. It's not that to one person is a friend and someone else is an enemy. Because he has love for God, he sees everyone as part of God and therefore he loves everyone. So such a person has more loving emotions in his heart than anybody else. He has an unlimited ocean of emotions within his heart. And his mind is perfectly steady. But someone who thinks, well, I have emotions for this person, loving, I have positive emotions for this person, and negative emotions for that person. Their mind is unsteady.
Jų protas tikrai neramus ir nepastovus.
You see. But the steady person, he has positive, loving emotions for God and for all living beings.
Bet pastovus asmuo, jis visom jom būtybėm ir Dievui turi tik pozityvius jausmus.
Even when he sees a little ant crawling along the sidewalk, he feels emotion for that ant.
Net jeigu ir mažą skrusdelę pamato, jis jaučia jausmus.
When he sees the cow grazing in the field, you see, eating the grass, he doesn't think, oh, I would like to eat that cow. Let me cut the throat of that cow and put her flesh in my frying pan. The sage's steady mind, he feels love for all creatures. Therefore, there is no one who has more wonderful emotions than the sage of steady mind.
Dėl to tas, kuris turi pastovų protą, jis turi nuostabius jausmus.
Other question? Yeah.
Gal būtų galima sužinoti jūsų požiūrį į skirtumus esminis krikščionybės ir krišnaizmų?
Could you please explain your understanding of basic differences between Christianity and Hare Krishna?
Actually, the pure form of Christ consciousness and Krishna consciousness is exactly the same.
Iš tikrųjų, tyra Krishnos sąmonė ir Kristaus mokymas yra viena ir tas pats.
That which was originally taught 2,000 years ago by Lord Jesus Christ and that which is taught here in the Bhagavad Gita is exactly the same.
Tas, kas buvo mokoma prieš 2000 metų Kristaus, nieko nekeičiant. Ir tai, kas pagavai kito, yra lygiai tas pat.
The only reason there appear to be differences is the modern day Christians are not strictly following what Christ taught.
Ir vienintelė priežasis, dėl ko galima rasti skirtumus, tai tai, kad šiuolaikiniai kunigai neseka to mokymu.
So, the only difference is between Christianity, the only difference then is between Krishna consciousness and so-called Christianity. Between Krishna consciousness and genuine Christianity, there is no difference. Only the imitation, counterfeit Christianity is different.
Vadinama, padirbta krikščionybė, jinai nesutampa.
Questions more?
Then what can we say to the persons who are telling us that it is impossible to be good for everyone? It is impossible to for everyone to be good, like.
You just have to be here to show them by example, of being good to everyone. That's all. You don't have to actions speak louder than words. If you're able, if you're fixed in Krishna consciousness, then you can be good to everyone. And their arguments will just roll off of you like a drop of water on a lotus leaf.
I told such persons that if you love God, then you will automatically give all good to others and for yourself. Is it correct?
That's right. You tell them correctly. Just like when you water the root of the tree, your water goes to every part of the tree. When you feed your belly, then that nutritional value goes to every part of your body. So when you give your love to God, then your love goes to all living beings throughout the whole universe. Next question. Yeah.
What is the function of the mind?
Kokia proto funkcija?
It's described in the revealed scriptures in this way.
Šventruose paaiškinama taip.
You, the living being, are the passenger.
Gyva esybė yra keleivis.
The intelligence is the driver.
Intelektas yra vežikas.
The mind is the driving instrument.
O protas yra badžios.
And the senses are the horses.
O juslės yra arkliai.
In other words, it's like a chariot.
Kitaip, kaip galim palyginti su karieta.
You have the horses.
Yra arkliai.
There's the reins that the driver holds, you see.
Yra badžios, kurias laiko vežikas.
There's the driver and there's the passenger.
Yra vežikas ir keleivis.
So the horses are your senses.
Taigi, šitie arkliai yra jūsų juslės.
The mind is the reins.
Protas yra vadžios.
The intelligence is the driver.
Intelektas vežikas.
And you, the living being, are the passenger.
O jūs gyvoje būtybė esat keleivis.
Questions more?
Daugiau klausimų?
Could you tell some story about Krishna?
You like to hear about Krishna?
Krishna?
Actually, there's nothing more wonderful than Krishna.
Iš tikrųjų nieko nėra nuostabiau už Krishna.
He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Aukščiausias Dievo asmuo.
And one day he and his cowherd boyfriends
vieną dieną su savo draugais, perliukais, ganytojais.
And they were playing in Vrindavan Forest.
Žaidė Vrindavano miške.
As they did every single day.
Kaip ir kiekvieną dieną.
And their mothers would pack their lunch in their lunch bags, you see. And one boy, he would steal another boy's lunch bag. And the boy, he would run to get his lunch bag back. And just when he's reaching out to get his lunch bag back, that cowherd boy thief who stole his lunch bag, he would throw it to another cowherd boy. So in this way, they have sporting pastimes. The boys, you know, boys, how they like to sport. Everyone, there's that competitive nature. So they would play like that. And so anyway, then finally they sat down to take their lunch. Of course, even though they did not know that Krishna was God, still they were attracted to Krishna more than anyone else, you see. As Prabhupada says, I don't know the translation in Lithuanian, Krishna was the cynosure of all eyes. Cynosure. In other words, all eyes focused on Krishna.
Krishna buvo visų akių, kaip sako, pakerėtojas.
He was the center of attraction.
Centras,
just like when the Beatles were back in the days of Beatlemania, you see, wherever the Beatles went, everybody focused on the Beatles.
Kaip, pavyzdžiui, Beatles laikais, visi koncentravosi Beatles.
So, wherever Krishna goes, everybody focuses on Krishna.
Taip ir kur Krishna beeitų, visi koncentruojasi į.
So they were all sitting around with Krishna, taking their lunch in the forest of Vrindavan. Now they had many thousands and millions of cows. So actually, the boys would take care of the calves, you see. And the fathers would take care of the cows. So the calves, they were wandering away for some reason. They wandered off. Looking for greener pastures. And the boys were in anxiety because they're cowherd boys. They have to take care of the calves, you see. Oh no, the calves are going away, you know, it's spoiling. They want to sit there and enjoy their lunch, but they have to take care of the calves at the same time. So there's an anxiety, you see, what to do. We want to enjoy our lunch, but now the calves are all wandering away. What to do? Krishna said, don't worry, you just enjoy your lunch. I will fetch all the calves. So actually what had happened was this, that Lord Brahma had stolen all those calves and hidden them away in a huge cave. Why did Lord Brahma do that? Lord Brahma understood Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. He couldn't believe that Supreme Person could be manifested as a little coward boy in Vrindavan. It was being said by great sages that little boy was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Brahma said, no way. And he wanted to prove that he wasn't really God, you see. So he didn't know that he was playing with fire when he played with Krishna. So anyway, he stole the calves and put them in a cave. So Krishna, playing the role of being a cowherd boy himself, he couldn't find the calves. Of course, Krishna is all-knowing. He's the Supreme Lord. He knows everything. But for the sake of rasa or for transcendental drama of Vrindavan Leela, Krishna couldn't find the calves. And it was bewildering. Oh no, the calves are lost. Now he had to go back to the cowherd boys. The calves are lost, you see. And when he got back to where the cowherd boys were taking their lunch, they were also gone. Brahma had stolen them also. And now it was a big perplexity. What would Krishna do? All of his cowherd boyfriends are gone. All the calves are gone. I mean, just consider that every day, just like here in Kaunas, how many children go to school during the day, you see? So many children go to school. Now just imagine if one day when all the hundreds and thousands of little children went to school here in Kaunas, one evening not one child went home. And the teachers had to say, we don't know, all the children were kidnapped. If every child in Konas was kidnapped and all the parents, or the whole city would be, the parents would be committing suicide, it would be a horrible scene.
That
every single child in Konas has been kidnapped. And we don't know where they are. And if all the, so Krishna, he didn't want the mothers to be in so much anxiety. Not to speak of the cowboy mothers, the mother cows also. Do you know how much it breaks the heart of a cow when her calf is lost? It devastates the poor cow, you see. So Krishna couldn't, he could not, he did not want the mothers and the mother cows to be devastated by the loss of their children. So he had a very good idea. He expanded himself as all the boys and calves. Exact replica. In other words, he looked exactly like each boy and each calf. He wasn't just the external appearance, but he also adopted totally the psychology of that boy and that calf. Just like an expert actor on the stage who can act so perfectly, you can't tell that he's separate from the character he's playing. Krishna, after all, is expert in all Vedic arts. So he is also the most expert in the act of, in the art of acting as well. There's no better, he is better than any movie star. When he wants to act, he can act better than any movie star. So Krishna perfectly duplicated the psychology, the subtle aspects of every single boy and every single calf, and they were millions of them. So, for a whole, there was only one difference. So that afternoon, the boys and calves came back from the cowherd, the pasture, just like they normally do every day. Every boy went to his mother, went home to the parents' house. And every calf went back to his mother to suck her breasts. For that utterly delightful milk. Utterly and utterly delightful milk. So, there was one difference though. Even though that calf and that boy had all the characteristics of their cow, their calf and their son, that calf and that boy, they were now Krishna himself. So there was an amazing, overwhelming increase of affection that the mothers and the fathers had for their sons and that the mother cows had for the calves. It was really amazing. In fact, one day, and this was going on for a whole year, one day the cows and the cowherd men were up on Govardhan Hill. And the cowherd boys and the calves, they were down at the foot of Govardhan Hill. Now remember, the boys and the calves, they were actually Krishna himself, you see, playing the role of boys and calves. So when those mother cows up on top of Govardhan Hill, when they saw their calves down at the foot of Govardhan Hill, their motherly affection as a mother cow completely overwhelmed them, you see.
jausmai, jam visiškai juos
And all the mother cows went charging down Govardhan.
Visiškai juos apakino ir juos pradėjo nuo Govardhano lėkti tiesiog.
To be with their calves.
Susitikti su savo veršiukais.
And the cowherd men didn't know what was going on with the cows. They were running. It was quite a scene. The cowherd men are running down the Govardhan to try to catch up with the cows. So all these amazing pastimes are going on in Vrindavan for a whole year. And Balaram, he was watching all these things going on. And Balaram, he can always. But the normal Brijabasis cannot figure out Balaram, you see, he's Krishna himself actually, playing the part of elder brother, you see. Balaram figured it out. He figured the whole thing out. So anyway, Lord Brahma's time is different from our time, you see. Brahma's 311 trillion years is 100. Our 311 trillion years is only 100 years of Brahma's time. So Brahma had this intuition that, well, you know, maybe this is God himself, and maybe I made a big mistake by doing this.
Ir Brahmai toks kilo intuicija, kad galbūt iš tikrųjų tai yra aukščiausias Dievas, o gal klaidą padariau.
So he, a moment for Brahma, he came back a moment later to see what had happened after he played this trick of stealing all the boys and calves. He thought, maybe I really didn't really do the right thing here. Let me see what happened by my little trick I played on the Brijabasis. So a moment later of his time, which was a year later of Earth time, he came back to see what was going on in Vrindavan. And he couldn't believe it. He knew that he had all the boys and calves hidden away in that cave. He knew for certain they were there locked inside the cave. And he came and there they all were. He couldn't figure out what is going on here. I have stolen all the boys and calves, but they're still here with Krishna. Of course, Krishna, he didn't show externally, but Krishna was having a big laugh at this time. Knowing what was going on in Brahma's mind, you see. But Krishna really wanted to teach him a good lesson. Krishna decided he would have even more fun. So while Brahma is looking at all these cowherd boys and all the calves, you see, trying to figure out what is going on here, Krishna transformed all the boys and calves into four-armed Vishnu forms. Just to blow, what we, I don't know what you say in Lithuanian. We have a saying in English: "Blow your mind." Just to completely blow Brahma's mind. Krishna transformed all the boys and calves into four-armed Vishnus. And Brahma just, he absolutely can't understand what is going on here. And he finally realized what was going on, and he just fell down at Krishna's feet and begged forgiveness. He was crying. He actually bathed. He did an abhishek of Krishna's lotus feet with the tears from his eyes, you see. And he has a lot of tears, you know. He has eight eyes. So Krishna had quite a tear bath abhishek of his lotus feet by the tears of Brahmanji. In fact, Brahmaji not only bathed him his lotus feet with his tears, but he prayed like anything. There's a whole chapter of the Krishna book called Prayers by Lord Brahma. He just prayed and 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 prayed to Krishna. He felt so bad what he had done. That he had doubted that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yes.
Thinking him to be an ordinary cowherd boy. So this famous pastime of Krishna is called Brahma Vimohana Lila. And if you will always remember this Brahma Vimohana Lila, then you will never become bewildered by the illusory energy. So now you must, you and everyone here who has heard this story, you must all always remember this story. And then you will never become bewildered by the illusory energy ever again. That is the boon that you will receive if you will always remember this story. Any other questions? Yeah.
Krishna and cowherd boys, they had a horn made of cow horn. But the Vedic scripture says that the cow horn is not pure. It is bone.
No. No cow, there's nothing nothing impure. Everything about the cow is pure. Just you have to wait for the cow to die a natural death. You don't kill the cow, that's all. Everything about the cow is pure. Even the stool and urine of the cow is pure. Have you seen in India in the villages how they make their kitchen? Have any of you seen in the Indian villages how they make their kitchens? Yes, they take cow dung and put it all over the floor, and they dry cow dung. The insects did not come. To make their kitchen very clean, they put cow dung. In the fire yagya? Oh, they use it for cooking also. When you go in India, you'll see everywhere they take the cow patty and they smack it on the wall of the house. You see,
when
the cow passes the stool, they take that stool and they put it on the, they smack it on the wall. You see, so it dries out in the sun. And it's the best fuel for cooking, better than wood. It doesn't stink. It burns very nicely. And cooks. It's the best fuel for cooking is cow dung. Everything about the cow is pure. Next question. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming. Okay.
Lord Brahma, he knew that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, but he doubted. So how is it possible he was a pure devotee?
These are pastimes of Krishna. Even Arjuna, he appeared to be in a state of illusion. These are all Krishna's pastimes with his pure devotees too. For Krishna's pleasure, for one thing. Just like Jai and Vijay, they are devotees, but they played the role of demons. So Krishna could have some fun. Krishna likes to kill also, you see. He takes pleasure from killing. But in the spiritual world, you can't kill anybody. There's nobody, they're all devotees there. So Krishna comes here when he feels like killing. He comes to the material world and kills some demons. But who's worthy of being killed by Krishna? These demons aren't worthy of being killed by Krishna directly. So he has some of his devotees play the role of demons so he can kill them. It's a pleasure pastime. Next question.
But if Krishna has created demons, then they have some purpose. Then why to kill them?
Actually, those that are like Jai Vijay, that is a pastime, so Krishna can kill them. They are not actually demon.
Kas liečia Jai ir Vijay ir panašius atvejus, tai jie iš tikrųjų nėra demonai. Krishna tiesiog juos nori nužudyti kaip žaidimas toks.
The demons of this material world, they have, they become demons of their own volition because of their envy of the Supreme.
Bet demonai šitam pasaulyje, jie patys tampa demonais dėl savo pavydo Dievui.
There's a difference.
Tai yra skirtumas.
And if they are killed, then they become liberated and pure devotees?
Yeah. Yeah, generally the demons of this world are not directly killed by Krishna. Unless they become huge, powerful demons. The ordinary run-of-the-mill rinky-dink demons, they are killed by, you know, automobile accidents, heart attacks, terrorist attacks, things like that, war, pestilence. They don't get directly killed by God. They're killed by the material nature. Only the big demons, you see, get killed directly by Krishna. So you have two ways to get liberated, you see. You become a pure devotee or you become a big demon. So you're not able to become a big demon who can terrorize the entire universe by your mystic powers. Better just to chant Hare Krishna. Question?
You said that the Lord loves all the living entities. So how can we? How it is compatible that He also likes to kill?
When He kills, that is also His love. Because whoever He kills, He liberates them. In this world, no one can do that, you see. But Krishna, when He kills, that is also His mercy. Because they become liberated. Look at Putana. She came with poison on her breast to kill Krishna. Just imagine how wicked is Putana. An innocent little baby. She's coming in the form of a nurse to give her breast milk to Krishna. And she's so wicked, she's putting poison on her nipple. Can you imagine how demoniac that is? To pose as a nurse and put poison on the nipple, to poison a little baby? And what did she get? She became a mother in the spiritual world. That is Krishna's love, you see. Because she came as mother, He ignored the fact that she came to murder Him. She said, oh, this is my mother. She can become a mother in Goloka Vrindavan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why Krishna closed his eyes when he saw Putana?
Oh, that's just, there's different acharyas have different opinions. You can study in the Krishna book. There's a whole list of, well, it could have been for this, it could have been for that, it could have been for this. One acharya says because he didn't want to kill a mother. I mean, you know, a mother is worshipable. You can't kill your mother. So, therefore, he had to close his eyes. So, it is listed in Krishna book. You can look, study in Krishna book. The different reasons are given. Different acharyas have different opinions of why he closed his eyes. But there's one thing they agree on. And that is that he closed his eyes. Next question. Yeah.
What is the nature of our doubts?
Your doubts are demons. They have to be killed. Just like Arjuna, he had so many doubts. So he addressed Krishna, therefore, Madhusudana. You are the killer of the Madhu demon. I have so many Madhus in my heart. I have, my dear Krishna, I have so many Madhu demons in my heart. My doubts are Madhu demons. My heart is full of Madhu demons. So you kindly be Madhusudana, you kill all these demons of doubt within my heart. Karpanya dosha pahatasvabhava prachchami tvang dharma samuddhacheta yat shreyansya nishchitan bruhidan me shishyashtehang shalimang tvang prapanam. Now I am confused about my duty, and I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Unless you take that mood of total surrender to the spiritual master, I can guarantee you this. You will be haunted by so many doubts. Until you can follow the footsteps of Sri Arjuna and fully surrender yourself to the bona fide spiritual master, you will be plagued by so many doubts. So, fully surrender yourself. That's our philosophy. We must fully surrender ourselves, the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And we have to beg the spiritual master to destroy these demons of doubt within our heart. He would be very happy to do that with the weapon of transcendental knowledge. All doubts slashed. Next question. Yes.
What is the perfect knowledge?
That is Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya.
That
is the perfect knowledge. But don't make it simply theoretical. No, it's very nice knowledge. I find it very interesting. No, you must make it real. You must practice this knowledge. Otherwise, you will lose it. If you don't use it, you will lose it. So, this knowledge, you must put it into practice. And then that is the perfection of this knowledge. When you can practice it. Next question.
Yeah.
Kaip praktikuoti sadą?
Nu jo, kaip tai gyventi, praktikuoti.
Could you give an explanation how to practice sadhana?
Ar galit paaiškinti, kaip praktikuoti sadhana?
Yes, it comes in several stages.
Taip, yra keli lygiai.
This is given by Srila Rupa Goswami.
Duoda Srila Rupa Goswami.
The first stage is you must have faith in this process.
Pirmas lygis turėti tikėjimą į šitą procesą.
The second stage is you should associate with the devotees.
Antras lygis reik bendrauti su atsidavusiais.
Whatever the devotees do, you should also do. Chant Hare
Krishna.
Give up sinful life. Take prasadam. Chant and dance in ecstasy. You do the same thing the devotees are doing. They say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. So, when in ISKCON, do as the ISKCONites do. And by that, you will understand, well, then I have to have a guru, because that's what the ISKCON people do. They accept a guru. And then the spiritual master then will engage you, will train you how to become a pure devotee. He will personally instruct you in pertinent details of how you can become fixed in Krishna consciousness. And in this way, gradually all the dirt in your heart will be removed. You become solidly fixed and steady in Krishna consciousness. And you will get a very sweet, sweet taste of Krishna consciousness. You become very, very attached to Krishna. You'll have ecstatic emotions awakening within your heart. And you will achieve pure love of God. This is how the process works. Question.
Krishna sako, kad aš visur ir viskas manyje. Bet yra vienas posmas, kur jis sako, aš visur ir viskas manyje, bet aš ne visur.
Tai Gorachandra ki jai, Shishi Varanamara ki jai.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he is everywhere and everything is within him. But there is also another verse where he says that everything is in me, but I am not everywhere.
Yeah. By me in this my unmanifested form, this entire universe is evaded. I'm in this way, as Krishna described. Yes, so you have to understand that there is Krishna and there is the separated energies of Krishna. So the separated energy of Krishna, they are also Krishna. So in that sense, Krishna is everywhere. But he has his separated energies, they are also considered different from him. So in that sense, he is not everywhere. Just like the king, by his influence and his power, he is present everywhere throughout the kingdom. Because everywhere the people are obeying the king. Everywhere they have pictures of the king. Everywhere they are glorifying the king. Therefore, and his laws are posted everywhere. Everyone has to obey him in every corner of the kingdom. Therefore, wherever you go, you feel how the king is present through his energy. But yet he is only personally present in his palace. So in the same way, Krishna is present only in the spiritual world. But he is also present everywhere through the diffusion of his diverse energies. But that same spiritual world manifests in the heart of his pure devotees. And he becomes fully present in the heart of all of his pure devotees. Question.
Koks reikalingas minimalus bendravimas atsidavusiais, kad atlikti sėkmingai sadaną?
What is the minimum requirement of association with devotees to be able to perform sadhana nicely?
That depends on your situation. The point is, go for it as much as you can. As much as you're able to get the association, you should take it. And Krishna will see your enthusiasm. And he will reciprocate. Some people can't get that much association with devotees because of their living situation. Krishna understands that. And Krishna can cover for that also. So you just have to take as much as you can whenever you have the opportunity, and then as Krishna says, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. I will give you a graphic example in this connection. My godbrother named Shivananda Sen. He was an enthusiastic young brahmachari back in the early days of ISKCON. He went to Germany all alone to start our movement there. He had no money, he had no contacts. He was sleeping in a condemned building in Berlin, West Berlin. But with no association, but he was carrying on trying to establish the Krishna consciousness movement in Germany. And he was feeling very lonely there. Prabhupada wasn't there. There was no God brothers. He was the only devotee in all of mainland Europe. There were some devotees in England, but he was the only devotee in the whole continent of Europe. One brahmachari all by himself.
Praktiškai jis buvo vienintelis brahmacharis visoje Europoje, be mokytojo, be kitų atsidavusių.
So he received a wonderful letter from Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said that if you will simply remember my humble teachings, then you will always have my association and the association of your God brothers also. So all you have to do is remember whatever the spiritual master has told you. And whatever Prabhupada has written in his books, if you will just remember these things, keep the memory alive within you by listening to lectures, by reading the writings of the spiritual master, and by reading Prabhupada's books, then you will always feel how you're in the presence of the devotees. You'll always feel how you're present with the spiritual master. And you will never feel unhappy. You'll always feel completely enlivened, eager for pushing forward this movement in your own town. And with that enthusiasm, you can make devotees out of your friends. And we'll come there and we'll preach in your town. Many devotees will come from Kaunas. We'll all travel together to your town and we'll have a wonderful programs in your town. So you should become the pioneer of pushing forward Lord Chaitanya's movement in your community. And the spiritual master will give you special mercy for doing that. And Lord Chaitanya will shower his mercy upon you like torrents of rain in the monsoon season.
Thank you.
very sincere boy. I met him at New Gokula, and we've been in contact with him ever since. Through the email. And then now he's come all the way to spend all this time with us here. So I'm so pleased with him. I'm very, very pleased with him. Any other questions? Yeah.
While performing sadhana bhakti, you said that gradually all the contamination goes away from the heart. So does it mean that the surrender to the spiritual master also comes gradually, or it immediately comes?
Well, you shouldn't make it any more gradual than it has to be. You should surrender as fully as you can immediately. But that surrender will grow more and more and more over time. At every minute, you should try to give your full surrender as much as you possibly can at every minute. And you'll be amazed how it just keeps growing and growing and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. How it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. The more your commitment, the more your faith, the more your feelings of love for the spiritual master grow, you'll be amazed at how it expands unlimitedly. And it never stops growing. It just keeps getting better and better and better for all of eternity. So give it everything you've got right now. And keep increasing, increasing, increasing it. Questions more? No. Okay.
There is a saying that mafia or criminality is everywhere, but Krishna says also that he is everywhere. Is there any connection? Like demons.
The mafia is only in the material world.
Mafia, taip, jinai materialiam pasaulyje yra.
There's no mafia in the spiritual world.
Bet dvasiniam pasaulyje nėra jos.
So even though the mafia may be all pervading in this material world,
ir todėl, nors mafia ir gali būti visur šitam materialiam pasaulyje,
this material world is only 1/4 portion of the whole total existence.
Šitas materialus pasaulis tik viena ketvirtoji visos būties.
So the mafia will always be smaller than the Krishna consciousness movement. No matter how big they may get, they'll always be smaller than the Krishna consciousness movement. Because we have the whole total existence, you see. They only have the 1/4 portion. Any other questions?
In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the soul cannot be understood, and I do not understand that.
Well, that's the proof. But by the mercy of Krishna, the soul can be understood.
Bet Krishna's malonės dėka, jinai gali būti suprasta.
With your mind, you will never understand.
Su protu niekad neįmanoma suvokti.
You simply have to awaken your spiritual consciousness. And then the nature will be self-evident to you. When you awaken your spiritual identity, then you will be that, you will experience what you're trying to understand at every minute. How do you understand the taste of water?
Kaip jūs, pavyzdžiui, galite suprasti vandens skonį?
I can describe it to you in millions of words, but that will never give you a full understanding.
Galiu papasakoti jums apie tą skonį įvairiais žodžiais, bet nesuprasit vis tiek.
But if you will simply drink it, you see.
Bet jeigu paprasčiausiai atsigersit jo.
Then immediately you understand.
Iš karto suprasit.
So all you have to do is awaken your divine nature, that's all.
Todėl viską, ką reikia daryti, prikelt savo.
And then you will have perfect understanding.
Savo dievišką prigimtį, tada gausi tobulą supratimą.
Therefore, you simply must chant.
Todėl privalote kartu.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Next question.
What is the remaining part of three quarters in the creation?
Yes, and that is called the para vyama. Spiritual sky. There are unlimited planets there which are full, inhabited with beings who have eternal youthful identities. They live forever in youth. They never get old, they never get sick. There's no income tax.
Nėra jokių mokesčių.
There's no air pollution.
Nėra oro užterštumo.
There's no cold winters.
Nėra šaltų žiemų.
There's wonderful mango trees and papaya trees and banana trees and pineapples, everything, and it's a paradise.
Yra nuostabūs vaisių medžiai, visko ten yra.
And there's one planet which is very special out of all the planets.
Ir iš visų tų planetų yra viena labai ypatinga.
And that's called the Krishna Loka planet.
Tai vadinama Krishna Loka.
On the Krishna Loka planet, God himself hides his identity as being the Supreme Being. He pretends that he's an ordinary villager. Just for the fun of it. Just like sometimes the movie stars, they're always being hounded by fans, you see. What do they call those photographers? Parapazi? What is it called? Huh?
Paparazzi.
Yeah, they're always being hounded by these photographers, and so sometimes they put on sunglasses and they hide their identity. So they can just become an ordinary citizen for a while, not be hounded by fans, you see. So Krishna does that sometimes. He hides his identity as being the Supreme Lord.
And
he has a planet on which his identity is totally hidden. And on that planet, all his most special devotees, he brings them to that planet. And he puts them under a spell called Yoga Maya. So that they forget he's the Supreme Lord. And he has all kinds of amazing pastimes. He's a cowherd boy. But he has his cowherd boyfriends, cowherd girlfriends. He plays with the cowherd boyfriends in the day and the cowherd girls at night. In this way, he has a life full of adventure. And everyone who is with him have the most thrilling, exciting adventures along with him. So in this way, in that three-fourths portion, there's all kinds of amazing things going on at this very minute, right now. And through the process of Krishna consciousness, we train you how you can enter into that other world. How you can develop a spiritual body and live in that eternal existence without any of the anxieties of material life. We're teaching you how to do them. If you will follow our process, you will regain your original spiritual form. You see, you once lived in that three-fourths portion. That's your original home. But you became envious of God and you were forced to come to the 1/4 portion. But Krishna kindly comes to this 1/4 portion and he speaks the Bhagavad Gita to tell you how to get out of this 1/4 portion and go back to the 3/4 portion. So we hope that you will take his words very seriously and follow them carefully so that you can regain your original home in the 3/4 portion. The 3/4 portion is called the spiritual sky. And the 1/4 portion is called the material sky. Any other questions? Yes.
Is it a constant number that 1/4 is material world and 3/4 spiritual world? Can it be changed?
You want to change it? If you can spread the Sankirtan movement all over the material world with great force, you can turn this material world into the spiritual world also. So why not try? Make the whole material world Krishna conscious. In other words, this is the prison, you see. The 1/4 portion is the prison. And the 3/4 portion, that's the place, that's the area outside of the prison. But if you can make all the prisoners Krishna conscious, then the government will unlock the gates. And the prison will be as good as the rest of the kingdom. It won't be any different. So preach to the world. Next question. Yes.
We know that spiritual kingdom is a place of truth. There exists only truth, and there is no something imperfect. There is nothing imperfect. And so, but why we see that in history there are some Vaishnavas, perfect Vaishnavas, who had some disagreement with each other about the absolute truth.
For example?
In a book, Second Chance, I have read that there were two paramparas who almost for 100 years had some disagreement.
Which paramparas? The four Vaishnava Sampradaya, you have it there? The four, yes. You find that and then we can comment on it. Find the exact quote and then we can comment on it.
It will take some time.
Yeah, you look for it and then we will answer it when you find it. Okay, next question.
Чем milijardai, milijardai galaktikų, tai čia tik tai viena visata, ar čia yra daugiau šiek tiek? Ar čia, kaip, kaip iskono faktai? Tai, tai, tai,
kurie iš Mahavišnų išėjo?
Ta prasme, daug visatų išėjo, visą tam mes čia mokslininkai mato, ten 10 milijardų šviesmečių sumų, ten milijardai galaktikų, ar čia yra viena visata su nu, mokslo buvo.
The modern science sees in this universe many stars and planets. Is it the whole material creation or is it just a part of the whole material?
This is only what you see here. This is just the mustard seed in the bag of mustard seeds. That's all.
Viską, ką čia mato, mes ir mokslininkai, tai yra tik tai kaip grūdelis, grūdų maišė.
There's millions and billions of universes in the material world.
Tokių visatų, kaip mes matom, aplink yra milijardai.
What you see at night is only one of millions and billions of universes.
Naktį mes matom tik vieną iš milijardų, milijardų, milijardų visatų.
Is those
ten nepraina per tą, nu kaip ten, per tą visatos bumbulą keltai nepraina informacija, yra tokia, toks terminas. Nes jeigu nepraina informacija, aiškiai mintys nepraina, o čia visatai susisiekia.
Ar tai galaktikos yra visatos?
Taip, pavyzdžiui, bet visi milijardai, milijardai galaktikų, čia yra skaitoma, bet tas vienas burbulas toks ten. Nes mes sakėm, nematom, bet jeigu priimti mintį, kad yra svarbiau. Visi milijardai, kurių net nematom,
skaičiuoti. In other words, what is the meaning in Vedic science of galaxy?
What is the astronomy? Galaxy is a bunch of stars, isn't it?
Galaktika, vedų supratime, yra tam tikrų žvaigždžių rinkinys.
What is their definition? What do the scientists say galaxy means?
They say the stars, planets.
Shri Radhanamara ki jai, Nita Gaura Chandra ki jai. Do you like the stars? Why don't you go and see the real stars in the spiritual world? These stars here are nothing compared to the stars in the spiritual world. If you like these stars, you'll be absolutely amazed by the stars in the spiritual world. Spiritual world, everything is illuminated. Not dark like this world. You'll be amazed if you go to the spiritual world. Questions more?
Krishna says that the most important thing is to always remember him and never forget him. But now we hear that in the spiritual world we will again come under the illusion, yoga maya.
Oh, that's a different
thing.
They can never forget Krishna for a minute. They're more Krishna conscious than anyone. Krishna did this, Krishna did that, Krishna said this, Krishna said that. Krishna lifted Govardhan. They're always thinking of Krishna. They're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There's no one more Krishna conscious than the Brijabasis. They are constantly remembering Krishna with great intensity. The only difference is they forget that he's God, that's all. But they're more Krishna conscious than anyone.
But
That's why they're allowed to have those intimate relationships with the Lord, because they are more Krishna conscious than anyone in the whole existence. That is their reward to be in Goloka Vrindavan. They are the most advanced devotees. They are the most Krishna conscious. So that way they get to become even more Krishna conscious. Questions more? Yes.
Srila Prabhupada says that the holy name is not different from Krishna and that everything is there in the holy name. Then my question is, why we are worshipping the deities and how the deities are connected with the holy name?
Because you are not fully absorbed in the holy name. Therefore you need some external things to help you become more purified so you can get more absorbed in the holy name. A person with a strong leg doesn't need a crutch. But a person with a broken leg, they need a crutch to walk. So deity is an aid or a crutch to help us become more absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna. It is a fact, if you're a pure devotee, all you need is the name, that's a fact. But you are not yet a pure devotee. Therefore you acquire the deity to help you become a pure devotee. Questions more?
How would we see the deities if we would become a pure devotees?
If you see the deities, will you become a pure devotee?
No. How would we see the deities if we would become?
Oh, then you will see here is Krishna standing before you. You will not see a statue. If you become pure devotee, you will see that here this is directly God standing in front of me. So now you become pure devotee. And you will see how this is Krishna standing here. It's not statue, it's Krishna himself. It is the most merciful manifestations of Nitai Gora Chandra. Yes.
Baktas bijo eiti dirbti, nes, sako, tai yra, nu, kodėl aš turiu materialių dalykų įsitirbti čia, taip, kaip sakoma, Krishna sąmonė, paskui jisai, daleiskim, išeina iš to darbo, jinai kitai negali įsitvirtinti, todėl, kad, nu, va, čia yra demonas, jis, kodėl aš jam turiu jo klausyti, kodėl aš jam turiu tarnausi, ne baktas, ir kaip čia, va, Krishna sąmonė pritaikyti tokius dalykus.
I wanted to ask what to do for a person who, for example, wants to work a job, but he thinks that this job is Maya, or that, for example, his master of the job is a demon and he do not want to work under him. So how to adopt this in Krishna consciousness?
Well, if you're too much disturbed by working under a karmic boss, then start your own business.
Na, vienas atvejis, jeigu per daug protas neramus dirbant karmių šeimininkui, galima pradėti savo biznį.
You be the boss.
Jūs tapkit bosas.
That's the best thing.
Tai yra pats geriausias atvejis.
If a devotee is expert enough to start his own business, then that's very good.
Jeigu atsidavęs yra pakankamai prityręs, kad pats savo biznį gali pradėti, labai gerai.
What I did in my, before I took up vanaprastha, is, well, I was kind of a vanaprastha the whole time, but I spent some time working under someone to learn the art of how to sell, and then once I learned that art, I started my own business.
Kaip aš, pavyzdžiui, padarėjau, aš kurį laiką dirbau šeimininkui, kad išmokčiau kaip parduot, o paskui išmokęs pradėjau savo biznį.
Instead of having to commute to work, I worked right there I had my own office right there in the preaching center.
Vietoj to, kad reiktų dirbti kažkam, aš pats savo firmą centrą įkūrė.
And I did business over the telephone and made a lot of money.
Ir telefonu didelį verslą įkūrė.
Instead of working for some karmi, I just started my own business. So the best thing is you can start your own business. That's the best way to earn a living. Because then when you want to go on vacation, you just go on a vacation. You can set your own hours, set your own vacation time. And to set your own pay, whatever you... It set everything. You're in charge of the whole thing. So that's the best thing, just start your own business. I could make one phone call and make $1,000 profit. So, starting your own business is the best thing. But if you're not expert to do that, you have to work for somebody else. So just chant good rounds in the morning and tolerate the austerity. Because it's not very enlivening to work under some crummy boss for your devotee at the pen. You just have to chant really good japa in the morning and read Prabhupada's books, you'd be totally absorbed in Krishna consciousness and just tolerate it. For the sake of getting the money. Because this movement needs two things to operate. We need men and we need money. So a householder, he is meant not only to maintain himself by working, he is meant to maintain the movement also. There, in the Vedic culture, there are four classes of men. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. The Brahmachari lives by charity. The Vanaprastha lives by charity. The Sannyas lives by charity. So who's going to give the charity? The Grihastha. The grihastha has to work hard not only to maintain himself, but he has to maintain the brahmacharis, the vanaprasas, and the sannyasis. So actually the grihastha, he is the, materially speaking, he is the basis of the whole Vedic culture. A strong grihastha ashram is essential for Vedic culture to go on nicely. So the grihastha should be given all encouragement. You either start your own business, or you work a job and give as much as you can to support this movement. It is glorious activity. You can take solace from this fact. Bhaktivinoda Thakur worked a job under a karmi boss. He worked for the British government. They were karmis. But he worked for them so expertly that they valued him as their best employee. So if you're working for a karmic company, you should become so expert in your work that they make you the president of the company. In this way, we can take over the world. If you're a college professor, you should become the president of the university. If you're in politics, you should become the president or the prime minister. Whatever field you're in, you should become the top. If you're a businessman, you should become a bigger, more successful businessman than Mr. Bill Gates. We want our devotees to be successful in all fields. Whatever you're doing, you should become number one. And then we will show them what is this Hare Krishna movement. Any other questions?
What is the method of giving a charity?
Writing a check. Or giving cash. Or we'll take credit cards also. Any other questions? Just like I'm traveling all over the world, whatever anyone can contribute to help with my travel expense, that makes it easier for me to come back here in October, you see. Everybody should support the local temple. Everybody should try to contribute something to help with my travel expense also. Any other questions?
Could you tell some pastime of Lord Chaitanya in Vrindavan?
Everybody wants specific pastimes. Actually, Lord Chaitanya, we are all indebted to Lord Chaitanya. Because now we can go to Vrindavan, we've become very enlivened by all the holy places, you see. But these are all were unknown. Until Lord Chaitanya went there and he revealed all of them to his followers. They were virtually unknown. Just like now everyone goes to Radhakunda, you see. But no one knew where was Radhakunda. Lord Chaitanya discovered it, you see. It was a small little pond. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya, he has made Vrindavan accessible to us. He went there and excavated and engaged his followers also in finding the holy places. So that is a very significant lila of him, rediscovering all the holy places and engaging his disciples also in doing that. Any other questions? What did she say?
Prabhupada made Vrindavan accessible for the whole world.
That's right. And Prabhupada exceeded Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya only spread Krishna consciousness within India. But Srila Prabhupada has spread it all over the world. Therefore, there is no greater devotee of Lord Chaitanya than His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There's no greater acharya. The others are glowworms compared to the brilliant sun of Srila Prabhupada. Any other questions? Did you find that place in the book?
I actually in another book, so I will be ready for tomorrow.
Oh, okay, very good. Yes, there's a question back there, Yadavi.
In the spiritual.
In the morning we'll be here. You have to come for the morning class. Tomorrow evening we will be in Visaganas. 10 minutes till 8. Yeah. So that's the question here. Okay.
Does in the spiritual movement, does the success of the movement depends on the money?
In a spiritual movement, does the success depend on the money?
Yeah.
No. The success simply depends on one thing, and that is bhakti. But wherever there is bhakti, then all facility comes. Krishna says that for those who worship ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. To those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they like.
Krishna sako, kad tie, kurie garbina mane su išskirtiniu atsidavimu į mano transcendentinį pavidalą.
So wherever there is actual bhakti, then everything will come, all facility. We see Prabhupada's example.
Aš išsaugau viską ir duodu, kas trūksta, ir matom Prabhupada's pavyzdį.
He had no money, he had no money.
Jis nei žmonių neturėjo, nei pinigų.
But he had pure bhakti.
Bet turėjo tyrą bhakti.
And then Krishna sent unlimited men and unlimited money to assist him in spreading this movement. So, these are symptoms of the bhakti. But from a managerial point, Prabhupada explains, two things are required, men and money. They are required from a material viewpoint. You can't say they're not required. Just like we want to print books. Thousands and millions of books. We need money to print the books. We need men to distribute the books. But these, without bhakti, but ultimately everything depends on bhakti. Without bhakti, nothing will happen. But along with bhakti, the practical things are also needed to promote the bhakti movement. So the householders, they can produce men and money. By sex life, they can produce men. They can have children and raise them as devotees. So they can, the householders can give us men by having sex. And raising them children to be devotees. And they can give money by working and giving as much as they can of their income to help the movement. Let's let him ask. Yeah, go ahead.
Could you clearly tell what is the difference between impersonal and personal philosophy?
Yes. Impersonal philosophy says that the ultimate truth is impersonal.
Taip, impersonalistai sako, kad aukščiausia tiesa yra beasmenė.
That there is God,
kad Dievas,
but God has no form.
Dievas yra, bet jis neturi formos.
He has no personality. He has no activities. He has no qualities. He is simply the oneness. The impersonal oneness. That nothing exists except for the impersonal oneness. Everything is one. And there's nothing except for the one. The one is impersonal. You can't see it. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. It is imperceivable. But it is there. It is the one. And to realize God, you have to merge into that one. You must completely annihilate any sense you have of individuality. And you must completely merge yourself into that one. This is impersonal philosophy. But from many, many angles of vision, it's quite illogical.
Bet iš daugybės požiūrio taškų, tai nėra logiška filosofija.
If the ultimate source of all existence is manifesting from itself so many persons,
jeigu aukščiausias yra visos kūrinio šaltinis tiek daug asmenų iš savęs išskleidžia,
which is a reality, I see there's so many persons in this room,
kurie yra tikrai realūs, tiek kad ir šitam kambarį tiek daug asmenų,
and you're all manifestations of that original source of existence,
visi yra šitos pirminės šaltinio ir pasireiškimai.
So if the original source has emanated so many persons from itself,
ir iš savęs jis tiek daug asmenų išleido,
therefore the quality of personality must exist in the original source of existence.
Ir todėl šitoje pirminėje šaltinėje privalo egzistuoti ir savybės aspektas.
Ask yourself this, have you ever seen a person who is impersonal?
Paprastai sakant, ar kada matėte žmogų, kuris yra besmenis?
Of course, I meet him all the time.
Taip, kiekvieną kartą sutinku.
Especially when I'm flying on the airlines.
Ypatingai lėktuvus skrendant.
But then the other question is, have you ever met an imperson who is personal?
Bet kitas klausimas, ar kada teko sutikti ne asmenybę, kuri yra asmenybė?
Like a rock, for example.
Pavyzdžiui, akmuo.
See, a rock is impersonal.
Akmuo be asmenybė.
You ever have a rock ask you how you're feeling today?
Ar kada akmuo jūsų paklausė, kaip jūs jaučiatės?
In other words, we experience that persons can be impersonal.
Taip sakant, mes patiriam, kad asmenys gali turėti be asmenių savybių.
But we have no experience that impersons can be personal.
Bet neturim tokios patirties, kad be asmeniai dalykai gali turėti asmeninių savybių.
So what does that tell us about reality?
Ir ką tai pasako mums apie realybę?
There we a personal, there has to be a personal, there has to be personality in the ultimate level of, has to be personality though.
Ir aukščiausiame lygyje turi būti asmenybės aspektas.
Because impersons cannot be personal.
Nes be asmeniai objektai negali turėti asmeninių savybių.
We see so much personality. I'm a person, you're a person.
Mes matom tiek daug asmenybių, aš jūs.
We experience every day so much personality in this world.
Tiek daug asmenybių pamatom šitam pasaulyje kasdien.
Therefore, we can logically conclude the original source of existence must possess personality.
Todėl logiškai galim suprasti, kad tas pirminis šaltinis turi turėti asmenybės aspektą.
Therefore, the personal philosophy is superior to the impersonal philosophy.
Ir dėl to asmeninė filosofinė yra daug aukščiau už impersonalistinę filosofiją.
The personal philosophy is that the original source of all existence is a person. And that he is emanating so many persons from himself, just like parents have children to increase their joy. The supreme person emanates so many persons from himself to increase his own happiness.
Ir jis teigia, kad kaip tėvai turi daug vaikų, kad būtų džiaugsmo jam, taip ir aukščiausia asmenybė turi daug vaikų, kad ir jam būtų džiaugsmas.
Actually, this impersonal philosophy was propounded in India only as a device, not as an ultimate truth.
Ir iš tikrųjų šita impersonalistinė filosofija buvo Indijoje išrasta tik kaip priemonė aukščiausiam palaipsninė, bet ne kaip galutinė tiesa.
When Krishna was here, personal philosophy was the predominant, was the philosophy on this planet.
Kai Krishna buvo čia asmeniškai, tada vyravo asmeninė filosofija.
But after he left the planet, the Kali Yuga began.
Kai jis paliko planetą, Kali Yuga prasidėjo.
And the people, just prior to the time of Lord Buddha's appearance, were grossly abusing the Vedic scriptures.
Ir žmonės, iki tol, kol neatėjo Buddha, jie labai smarkiai prieš Vedų nurodymus elgėsi.
In the Vedas, it's described how the Brahmins could chant a mantra and put an old cow into a sacrificial fire, and that old cow would get, by the power of their mantras, a young calf's body.
Ten yra vedose prašytas aukojimas, kai karvės aukojimas aukuria ir jos gauna jauną kūną iš karto.
They can rejuvenate that old cow with a young calf's body through the power of mantra.
Ir to mantrų pagalba jie tą seną karvę galėdavo vėl paversti į jauną viršiuką.
They would put the cow, the old cow, in the sacrificial fire and bring it out with the calf's body.
Jie seną karvę į ugnį, aukojimo ugnį, įleisdavo ir iš jos išeidavo veršiukas jaunas.
So just prior to the advent of Lord Buddha, the people of India were saying, oh look, the Brahmins were killing cows.
Ir iki viešpatės Budas atėjimo, žmonės matė, kad Brahmanai žudo karvės.
Therefore we can kill cows and eat the flesh, it's okay.
Ir jie galvojo,
the Brahmins did it and so can we.
Ką
They were grossly twisting the Vedic scriptures. So Krishna kindly appeared in the form of Lord Buddha. And he said, the Vedas are false. Just follow me. There's no God and the Vedas are false. But if you commit violence to other living beings, that same violence will come to you. That is the law of karma. Therefore, you must become non-violent. Because they were using the Vedas to justify cow-killing. Buddha told them that he denied the Vedas, you see. So the Vedic culture was completely destroyed in India. There was no Vedic culture left. Buddhism was the religion. So Krishna wanted to re-establish Vedic culture, but how to do that? You got all these atheists. So he gave an order to Lord Shiva. He told Lord Shiva that you should appear in the guise of a Brahmana. And you should teach impersonal philosophy using the Vedanta Sutra as your basis. Through expert grammatical word jugglery, you should take the statements of the Vedanta Sutra and twist them in such a way to preach an impersonal understanding of God. In Buddhism, the philosophy is everything is zero. Impersonal philosophy is everything is one. There's not much difference between impersonalism and Buddhism. The difference is, in impersonalism, they say, yes, we believe in God. But he has no form, he has no personality, he has no names, he has no qualities, he's just the oneness. So it's very close to Buddhism. So Shankaracharya, who is the incarnation of Shiva, he taught this impersonal philosophy and he defeated Buddhism. He re-established the Vedic scriptures as the standard. But he did it with a distorted version of the Vedas, an impersonal version, by twisting the grammatical word meanings of the Sanskrit. So they were a step closer to Vedic culture, but it was an impersonal version of Vedic culture. So then Krishna sent other great Vaishnava acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya. He sent great Vaishnava acharyas to gradually reintroduce the principle of a personal God. And that philosophy came to its full culmination with the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He accepted the principle of oneness taught by Shankara, but he balanced it with the principle of simultaneous difference also. So, there is in logic, there's what's called thesis, antithesis, and synthesis.
Logikoje, žinom, yra tezė, antitezė ir sintezė.
So, the thesis was that everything is one.
Taigi, tezė buvo tokia, kad viskas viena.
Madhvacharya, he taught a principle, everything is two.
Madhvacharya mokė, kad viskas du.
As an opposing doctrine, you see. But then Lord Chaitanya, he came and said, they're both right. He synthesized the two philosophies, monism and dualism. He said the absolute truth is simultaneously, inconceivably one and different. In Sanskrit, this is called achincha beda beda tattva. So that is the perfection of philosophy. The impersonalists say everything is one.
personalistai sako viskas viena.
The dualists say everything is two.
Dualistai sako viskas du.
But the Chaitanyaites, we say that everything is simultaneously one and two at the same time.
Chaitanyos pasiekėjai sako, kad viskas kartu ir viena ir skirtinga.
Everything is one because everything is the energy of Krishna.
Viskas viena, nes viskas yra Krishnos energija.
So in one sense, Krishna is everything.
Todėl, ta prasme, viskas Krishna yra.
He has manifested himself as the total existence.
Save apreiškia kaip visuma kūrinijos.
But it has, there's two categories within that oneness.
Bet yra dvi kategorijos toj vienybėje.
There's the emanator Krishna who is emanating all this energy.
Ten yra tas, kuris visas tas energijas išskleidžia.
And there is the emanated Krishna.
Ir yra tas, kas išskleista iš Krishna.
That energy which is coming from him.
Ta energija, kuri kyla iš jo.
So we the living beings, we are the emanated Krishna.
Ir mes esam tie išskleisti Krishna.
And the Supreme Personality of Godhead who plays the flute, he is the emanator Krishna.
Aukščiausias asmuo su fleita rankose, jis yra tas, kuris išskleidžia iš savęs viską.
So in this way we accept the principles of simultaneous oneness and difference.
Ir tokiu būdu mes priimam vienu metu ir skirtybę ir tapatybę.
We don't deny the conclusions of Shankara,
mes nepaneigiam Shankaracharyos,
who taught the impersonal philosophy.
Personalistinės filosofijos mokymą.
But we go beyond them. They say they say one and the same, we say one and different. That's the difference. So our time has run out. And we thank you all very much. Tomorrow morning at 7:50 a.m. the class will begin. I will not be giving class here tomorrow night, nor on Saturday night. I'll be in. Of course, if you want to come to Visaganas tomorrow night, you can hear my class there. If you want to come to Vilnius on Saturday night, I'll give me a class in Vilnius on Saturday night. And on Sunday, I will be speaking again. There'll be an initiation ceremony at the during the festival, the Nishinga festival. And then, so this is my last regular evening class here. Because on Monday we're heading out to Riga. So we thank you all very much for coming. Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.